You know what their concerns, you know what's in their hearts, and so praise the Lord for that. And so if you please stand with me as we read God's word on Psalm 95, and then we'll jump to Galatians chapter 5. And on Psalm 95, we'll be reading 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, to the rock of my salvation. Let us make into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, as we continue our worship, and especially as we turn to your word, we pray that we would be attentive, and we pray that we would be expectant. Help us to be attentive, to listen well, to put aside any distractions, and to allow you to speak through us through your word. And I pray that we would indeed be expectant, that we would be excited with joy. You tell us that all scripture have been breathed out by you. So it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We pray then, Father, that you would speak and that we would be humble enough to listen to your word. That you would transform us, that we would be changed as we study your word. This evening, Father, we want to echo the psalmist and say, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, Father, may that be our attitude. May that be our heart's desire tonight. As we come, as you invite us to come together, that we would magnify, that we would glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ, together. Lord, we pray that we would do all this together. Together as your people, called by your gospel, by the preaching of your word, by enabling us by your Spirit to respond by faith. And we do this, Father, because you have made us glad by your works through the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. And when we look at those, Lord, of what you have done and who you are, Lord, and all we could do in response is that we would sing for joy. That we are glad to be here. Because you are so good to us. Despite of all the things that's been happening in our lives this past week, you have been so good. You have been so faithful and kind to us, Father. We pray, dear Lord. We pray for all those who are suffering. For all those who are discouraged. For all those who are lonely, for all of those who are feeling troubled by sin, for all those whose dreams have been shattered, and disappointed. For all those who are sad, for all those who have been unfulfilled longings in their hearts. For all those who wonder if anyone cares for them and feeling lonely, Lord, we pray that you would be near to them as you have called us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. As we wait upon the Lord and you will answer. And that you would carry our burden as we surrender them to you, Father. Oh, that you would comfort those who are hurting. That you would comfort those by your Spirit. God, may they sense your presence, Lord, even at this time. Lord, I don't know what they're going through right now, but you do. You are a great God who hears and who answers prayers. Oh, Lord, Father, may you come alongside of them. Lead them by your Spirit, Father. We pray that, Lord, that you would be near to them, that we would be faithful in ministering to them as well, that you'll grant us the opportunity to come alongside of our brothers and our sisters in the situation that they find themselves in. And so, Father, even Galatians 6 tells us to bear each other's burden. May we truly do that, Father. May we be sensitive to the needs of our brothers and our sisters who are hurting. Oh, Lord, that we would not just be here and going through the motion of worship. That we would come and be concerned for the needs of our brothers and our sisters. And so, Father, that we would feel these burdens together. We pray this, Father, in the precious name of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. You may all sit down. As we continue our series in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and our series is Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit, and we find ourselves today, the fruit of the Spirit is love, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let me start off with this question: how do you cultivate joy in your life? And I want you to be mindful of that question and really get that, because I'll provide you six things of how we can cultivate joy in our lives. But first and foremost, we'll look at the scripture, and I want you to see for your own words and answer that question: how do I cultivate joy in my life? Joy is a very common word. It's not superficial. It's not related to circumstances. It's not the kind of joy that you feel when something good comes along to your life. It's none of that. It's not that kind of joy. It's joy unrelated to changing circumstances. When a person lives in the sphere of love, then he experiences joy. That inward peace and sufficiency that is affected by outward circumstances. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 and 20, this is a great example of what joy really looks like, despite of what's going on in your life, despite of all the circumstances that may be happening in your life. And we would see this in how we ought to respond, because here's a case in point in Apostle Paul's experience recorded in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 20. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet if it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs again, once again, and that not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This joy that has nothing to do with whether you're healthy, whether you are sick. Nothing to do with whether you're alone in a crowd. Nothing to do with whether you are paid enough or not enough. It has nothing to do with whether you have enough food or not enough food. Not related whatsoever to whether your circumstances are positive or negative. Not related at all to whether you have trouble in your life or for a little bit you're trouble-free. No, this word is not related to that. It's the deep-seated joy that provides for you constant satisfaction and contentment. This is true joy. Deep-seated joy that can be found in Scripture. A joy that comes not from the world, but from the presence of the one who is the fountain of all true joy. The Scripture tells us we will all experience affliction. Amen? That we will all experience sadness and disappointment and seasons where joy seems so distant or joy seems so far away. But God's will for us is that we know His joy both in this life and ultimately at the incredible, amazing, infinitely joyful marriage supper of the Lamb. It is God's gift to believers. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is what? Is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy that belongs to the Lord is dispensed to you and I. Just like the love of the Lord is dispensed to you. Joy is a part of God's own nature and spirit that He manifests in His children. That joy. Joy is a gift of God through His Spirit to those who belong to Christ. Do you know that joy is used 70 times in the New Testament alone? 70 times. During praise team, you would hear some of our praise teams reading some of the scripture about joy. But in the New Testament, if you do a word study, you would find at least 70 words in there. So your joy does not rise and fall on circumstances. It is immovable. It is unchangeable. It is as immovable and unchangeable as our Lord Jesus Christ is. God is not moved by those situations. Just like the love of the Lord is dispensed to us, we see this, that joy is based on divine realities. Divine realities. The joy that is produced by the Spirit does not depend on circumstances. It triumphs over circumstances. That's something I want us to see. Despite of the situation that you find yourself in, this joy is based on that divine realities. No matter what's going on, it triumphs over our situations. The Christian life is a life of joy. It is founded on faith on Jesus, whose life on earth began. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I love this. In what it says in regards to our Savior Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Actually, let's read on verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Come on, church, you could do better than that. You could do better than that. Great joy. It's about the announcement of whom? Our Savior Jesus Christ. What a great event for us to see, to experience that. It is founded on faith on Jesus, in Jesus. Good news of great joy for who? For all people. And now look to 24:41. Luke 24:41, at the very end of that chapter of that book. In verse 40 says, "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them." It is climax and it's victory over that. An event so great initially caused even his disciples says disbelieve in joy. John 15 verse 11. On the night before his death, Jesus spoke of joy to his disciples. "That my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be what? Completely done." It says complete. I want us to see how amazing that is on the night before his death and how Christ encouraged the disciples that my joy may be in you. In Romans 8:28, joy does not depend on circumstances because it rests in God's sovereign control of all things. In all things, that God is in control. You know, it's so amazing. I'm reminded just this past week, I've been texting back and forth with Kyle and Elizabeth, and they're in Kentucky. And just even before they left California, before they left us here, and months before leading to that, I was contemplating, and we would sit down and pray and struggle with those things and how it would look like when they moved to Kentucky. It's an amazing picture of God's grace and faithfulness and provision. You know, Kyle's worry was like, how am I going to provide for my family? And all I could tell him and remind him, trust and obey. What would it look like when we move there? What's it going to be like? Who are we going to be with? Who's going to help us around? We want our church to move over there. And that's Elizabeth's prayer. Right? Man, just this week alone, I was like, and we're looking at that. And I'm studying this, and it's like, what a great joy. And I said, brother, I'm rejoicing with you. You know why? And I want to share with you, church. Kyle is working at UPS now. Right? That's something that he didn't think about that's going to happen when they left California. Oh, I'm going to work at UPS. I'm going to apply. No, he got there. They got there, and he applied for UPS. He got a full-time job, got a full-time school, and UPS is paying for his tuition. I was like, wow. That's amazing. And he gets to work still at his other job, like Ralph's, Kroger, right, a supermarket store. Right? And God is so faithful. And the way and I said, I'm rejoicing with you, brother. Right? Not knowing what would happen when you move, as you follow Christ, as you trust him in the circumstances that even though you don't see, but God is so faithful. And so church, as a church, we rejoice for them. Amen? What a glad news that we could hear together. As we have talked about love last Sunday, like love, we are commanded to do it. We are commanded to be joyful always. Can I ask you a question? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ today? Yes? If so, God's will is that you experience deep, abiding joy in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. What does it say? In 5:16? Rejoice always. It says rejoice. Right? God's will is that you and I experience this deep, abiding joy in him. And the Bible tells us to what? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. We are to rejoice always. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is dangerous. I don't have a clock in front of me. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me. It is safe for you. So Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, one of my favorite passages. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul is quite emphatic about this. I will say it again. And he says what? Rejoice. We're commanded to do what only the Spirit can do. Which is like saying, walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Because joy comes as a gift from Him. The command, obviously, is not for believers to manufacture or to try to imitate it. The command is to gratefully accept and celebrate in this great blessing that we already possess. Philippians 14 verse 17 says, Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God intends that every one of His children exhibit the fruit of joy. If you and I are honest, most of us must admit that life is so often anything but what? Finish the sentence. Anything but joyful. It often seems that at best life is boring, and at worst it is filled with fill in the blank, anxiety, right? Conflict, tension, pain. The joy is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you're full of what? Full of joy. Is that what people would say about you and I? If you walk in the Spirit, you are full of joy. That's something that we see in Ephesians. That's something we see here in Galatians. And the encouragement is for us to walk and walk in step with the Spirit. That we need to be what? Living by the Spirit. Question is that how you would characterize a person who is just manifestly full of joy and full of love? If that's not you, you're either not a Christian or you're not walking by the Spirit. That's hard to take. That you and I must be walking in the Spirit. You and I, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. If you are walking in step with the Spirit, your life will radiate love and deep-seated joy, and that's what marks Christians. That's who we are. That's our identity in Christ. You know, you wonder sometimes, is so-and-so a believer? Is so-and-so a real believer? What about my spouse? What about my kids? What about my children? What about this friend or that? And the encouragement is, don't look at the past. Look now and you see if you see love, I mean, dominating, extensive, sacrificial, humble, unselfish love and joy. See, we don't need to go around moping and groaning because things aren't going the way we think. Christians are not victims, we are victors. We don't need to change the world, we don't need to change our circumstances. We just need to live out joy in whatever state we're in. We are to be what? Content. That should be you, that should be me all the time. And when it is, we are walking in the Spirit. And that's how we know that we're walking in the Spirit. We respond to the situation we find ourselves in, that despite of what's going on, there is this deep-seated joy. What is it that blocks joy in your life? What are the hindrances of joy in your life? Or barriers to joy? What are the barriers or hindrances to joy? Think some. Think of you. What would it be? What are the barriers or hindrances to joy in your life? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids or kid? Your child? Are those your barriers or hindrances to joy? Can I tell you this? Number one is sinful attitudes in our hearts. Sinful attitudes in our hearts. That's what hinders our joy in the Lord. Do you agree? The first thing, the first and foremost barrier to joy is our sins in our lives. Sin obviously breaks that communion and the enjoyment of His presence. Christian joy is essentially the enjoyment of God, the fruit of communion with Him. So I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Psalm chapter 51. As you turn there, as we are aware that Satan wants to rob us of joy, as he did in the garden, he lies and tells us that sin is the way to joy and happiness. Satan wants us to believe that God is holding out on us, that the forbidden fruit of sin and willful satisfies us and make us happy. When we are not experiencing joy, we should examine our hearts and our lives. Psalm 51. I want us to look at this real quick. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the heart, in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. The climax of this plea is David's yearning cry in verse 12, the joy of salvation. David had not lost God's gift of salvation, but David had squandered the joy of what God in His grace had provided. When did David lose this joy of his salvation? And why? Was it after his sin? Or could it have been at some point before that? I would suggest that David's loss of joy was not the result of his sin, but part of the cause. David's sinful actions were the fruit of his failure to recall that the lasting joy of God's salvation far outstripped the passing pleasure of Bathsheba's flesh. He needed to see that. He needed to be reminded of the mercy and the joy of God. God's grace and mercy and faithfulness and love outstrip far from what he would watch and see of what Bathsheba was doing at that place. David had already lost sight of the joy of God's salvation before he saw the young woman bathing on the roof and chose to call her into his chambers. It was at least in part due to David's misplaced joy that he sacrificed his what? He sacrificed his integrity for a false and fleeting joy that could never satisfy his soul. Just imagine that. When King David committed sexual adultery, he lost sight of the joy of God's salvation. Now the penitent king begged God to restore his lost joy. Turn with me to Psalm 32. Chapter 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Verse 3 and 4 vividly describes David's lack of joy as he agonized over his sin. Look at that again. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. But as David confessed his sin, there was an interesting progression in his thoughts, starting with freedom from guilt, moving to faith in God's deliverance, to testimony to God's unfailing love, to rejoicing and singing. You see all that in verses 5 through 11. See, that's what happened when we find ourselves in doing that kind of sin. Or if there are sins in our lives, we ought to go and repent before God. And thus we, just like King David, we need to ask God to what? To restore that joy. Isn't it true when your relationship with your spouse or with your family members are broken? Right? You want that joy back. And the same thing in our relationship with our Father. When we find ourselves in sin, we must, just like David, we must beg God to restore that joy in our lives. God's forgiveness is always a foundation of wonder to you and I. It seems incredible that in spite of repeated sins, if we confess them, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive. Psalm 103 is one of my favorite chapters. And I want us to see there, Psalm 103, in regards to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Verse 9 says, verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, as far as does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And the continued faithfulness of God to forgive and to restore us to His fellowship is a source of what? Of joy to you and I. Are we doing or have we done something that is displeasing to God that we need to confess and forsake? Or as is often the case, are we holding on to some sinful attitudes such as envy or resentment or a critical and unforgiving spirit? The fruit of joy cannot exist when such attitudes have control of our hearts. You cannot fully experience this deep-seated joy if you are harboring sins in your life. All sin, be it attitude or action, must be dealt with if we are to display the virtue of joy in our lives. So the first thing is, barriers to joy or hindrances to joy is sinful attitudes in our hearts. Number two, discipline that God gives to His children. Scripture says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful in Hebrews 12, 11. Discipline is never a joyful experience. It is not meant to be, else it would not accomplish its intended results. If we lose sight of this intended results or we feel we don't deserve it, discipline can lead to self-pity. The secret of maintaining joy in the midst of discipline is to remember in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 6 and 11 says, the Lord disciplines those He loves, and that later on, however, the discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So that's something I want us to look at. The discipline that God gives to His children. Yes, He may discipline us for a time, but I want us to look forward in how God is sharpening us and how He's growing us into that point. Number three, the hindrances or barriers to joy is experiencing trials of faith. Trials differ from discipline in that in their purpose to exercise our faith, not deal with sin in our lives. In His infinite wisdom, God allows trials in order to develop perseverance in us and cause us to fix our hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials can come in many forms. Some chronic pain, health problems perhaps, financial situations, criticism and rejection, outright persecution, whatever form the trial takes and however severe it may be, it is intended to what? To strengthen our character. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 1, I'm sorry. James 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, my brothers. James, encouraging, commanding the believers to what? When you are in the midst of your trial, when you go through trials in life, whatever it may be, count it all joy. But that might be difficult, right? And this is why the joy is the fruit of the Spirit. We need to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to find joy in the midst of difficulty. I'm sure the majority of you knows Johnny Erickson Tada, right? She wrote this in her daily devotion. And says, I wake up each morning with eternity in my crosshairs. I have my sight on heaven. It's what keeps me going. True, over 50 years of living in a wheelchair is incredibly challenging, especially at my age. But I'm a little like Jesus who, as today's scripture tells us, for the joy set before Him endured His cross. So would I not endure mine? Especially when I consider the joy that is awaiting me, the happiness that my response to my wheelchair is accruing for me. Our faith and perseverance can grow only under the pain of trial. Frequently, our reaction to trials is like Job's. At the beginning of his testing, he reacted very positively, and the statement says, the verse says in verse chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has what? Has taken away. May the name of the Lord be what? Be praised. Or blessed be the name. But as the time wore on and the trials, aggravated by the false accusation of his friends and discouraging wife, continued, Job's faith and patience gave out. He was finally reduced to saying, it profits a man nothing when he tries to please God, in chapter 34, verse 9. But though Job's faith wore out, God's faithfulness did not. He was discouraged. He gave up at times, but God's faithfulness was there the whole time. God stayed with Job until Job had learned the lesson of God's sovereignty, and then God gave Job twice as much as he had before. God's faithfulness should also be of comfort to us in times of trial. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion so great in his unfailing love. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 32. God's faithfulness gives comfort to us in times of trial. I'm not sure where you are at this time in your life and what's going on in your life, but may you find comfort in the faithfulness of our God. Joy not only does not come from favorable human circumstances, but is sometimes greatest when those circumstances are the most painful and severe. Shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but sorrow will be turned to joy." In John 16, verse 20. To illustrate that truth, our Savior compared divine joy to a woman in childbirth. In John 16, verse 21 through 20. She has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. God's joy is full, complete in every way. Nothing human or circumstantial can add or detract from it. In John 16, verse 24, it says, "Ask and you will receive." Jesus went on to explain that your joy may be made full. One of John's motivation in writing his first epistle was that his joy might be made what? Complete. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus himself, again, is just like love, that he was our model, that he is our model. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, says, "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." In Luke 18, 31 through 33, "But just as he had promised his disciple, his sorrow was turned into joy." Despite the misunderstanding, the rejection, the hatred, the pain, Jesus endured those pain for our sins. So God is the source. The scriptures are the means. The same truth applies to joy. Verse 13 in Romans 15 says, it speaks of the God of hope filling us with joy and peace as we trust in him. Romans 15, verse 13. We must remind ourselves that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And some applications for us as we close. So have you thought of ways you can cultivate joy in your life? What would it be? Joy is cultivate when? Fill in the blanks. First of all, for us to cultivate joy, or God's joy in our lives, is to this, is to keep our focus on the Lord. Keep your thoughts and hopes in Him alone. I'll be reading some verses. Psalm 16, verse 8 through 9. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. So keep your focus on the Lord. That's how you cultivate joy in your life. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your thoughts and hopes in Him. In Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. 16:11. The first way to keep our focus on God is to spend time where? In His Word. That's how we cultivate joy in our lives. And how are we going to keep our eyes and our hearts and mind focused on the Lord? By being where? In His Word. Amen? When? When you're going through trials and difficulties? No. When? Daily. Right? Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 19:8. The precepts of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Scripture is full of promises that gives us hope and joy. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing that you and I can cultivate joy, is being able to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Amen? And how are we going to do that? By being in His Word. Second thing, ask God to give you joy in Him. Ask God. John 16, verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. Luke 11:9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And you will ask Him by faith and by the will of God. If it's according to His will. God's will is that our joy in Him be full. Again, this doesn't mean that we don't suffer in this life, but that God wants to give us a joy that goes deeper than our pain. So we need to ask our Heavenly Father to give you joy in Him. God does not tell us to pray just so He can watch us perform some vain exercise. God tells us to pray because He intends to answer our prayers. And He does. Amen? And He faithfully answers our prayers. Number three. Seek to cultivate the habit of thankfulness. That's how you and I are able to cultivate joy in our lives. Number three is to what? To seek to cultivate the habit of thankfulness. How many of you are thankful? Only a few hands. I got my two hands. Man, I am thankful today. Amen? I am thankful I am alive. I'm here. I'm thankful that you are here. Right? I'm thankful that we got to eat today. We got to dress up. We get to do all those things. We get to worship Him. I'm thankful. Regularly thank God for His spiritual blessings. Thank Jesus for saving you, for dying on the cross in your place, for washing away all our sins. Thank our Heavenly Father for adopting you as a child, for giving you an eternal inheritance in Christ. Be thankful for those things. Don't just so caught up with, Lord, thank you for the material blessings. Thank God for the spiritual blessings. Amen? Excuse me. That's why it's so amazing when you read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Just stay there and you get to be, at the end of that reading, you're just like, Lord, thank you. Even before you get to end of chapter 2, you get to be thankful for what God has given us through Jesus Christ. So thank Him for that. Thank Him for filling you with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for creating good works for you to walk in. Thank God for that His steadfast love never what? Never ceases. That His mercies never come to an end. That they are new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3. Thank God for that. The more you can thank and praise God throughout the day, the more your joy in Him will what? Will increase. And our problems tend to fade away. Our situation, our trials still there. But because we know that God is in control, He is there. Amen? So we need to thank Him for that. Of course, we need to thank God for our material blessings. For the material blessings. For everything you can think of, and thank Him for that. Thank Him if you have these things, right? Thank God for your family. Thank God for the health that you have. Even you're struggling with your health. Thank God for that. Right? I mean, I know it's hard when you're in pain. How can I thank God for this pain? Praise God for the pain, that God will use your pain for His glory and for His praise and for your good. Thank God for your strength. Thank God for your eyes. Thank God for your ears, right? That you're able to hear. Thank God you're able to walk. And yet you find yourself, that's too far. I can't walk. I can't stand too long to worship and sing joy for the Lord. Thank God for those things. Thank God for your hearing, for all those things that God has given us. Thank God for your taste. Amen? Praise God for our taste. Thank God for our home, for our apartment, for our place. Thank God for letting you live in a nation where you are free to worship Him without persecution. Are you thankful for that? I mean, we heard from Richard in regards to North Korea. In other countries that we've been praying for. And how the gospel is close to them. And yet, are you thankful that you're able to worship God freely? We're able to open the Bible and even have a live stream so people can watch wherever they may be. It's not being blocked by the government. Not yet, at least. So thank God for that. Thank God in how He's providing for you. Amen? Practicing thankfulness will help produce joy in your life. Practicing thankfulness will help produce joy in your life. Number 4, seek to abide in Christ by keeping His commandments. John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We abide in Christ's love by seeking to obey Him, by keeping His commandments. As we do, we experience more and more of Christ's joy. However, if you and I sin, if we look to the flesh to give us joy, we will find ourselves robbed of joy. For sin kills joy. Though it promises just the opposite, right? If you're not careful, right? Sin kills joy. Number 5, cultivate joy by looking for ways to serve others. Amen? Cultivate joy by looking for ways to serve others and ask Jesus to help you serve with joy. How many of you are serving with joy? Only like 3? How many of you are serving with joy? I'm not saying just here in the church. What are you talking about? You're serving, right? What do you serve? Everywhere, right? So ask God to give you the ability to serve with joy. Don't be serving with grumbling, right? With a bad attitude. Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So cultivate joy by looking for ways to serve others. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. It was read to us during our praise team. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of me. Is that what it says? What does it say? Of others. All of God's commands are for our joy. When Jesus emptied himself and became the ultimate servant, giving his life for us, it was for his infinite joy and in our eternal joy. Read Philippians 2. You see, Christ is a great example of how to serve with joy. Again, we need to pray that Jesus will help us serve others with joy. So God commands us to be servants for our joy. When we serve others, we're not focused on ourselves, at least we shouldn't be. So we serve others with joy. Serving others may not necessarily feel joyful at the time, but we will reap joy at the fruit of serving. So serve with joy. Cultivate joy by looking for ways to serve others. Number 6 and last. Cultivate joy by giving to the poor. Cultivate joy by giving to the poor. To those who are in need. Those who you see who are in need. Give to them. Give and it will be given to you. God measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will measure back to you. Luke 6:38. Proverbs 14:21. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap much or bountifully. When you and I give to the poor, we will certainly reap spiritual rewards. But I believe the Lord blesses us in this life also. He meets our material needs, and he also blesses us with joy. He prospers us in many, many ways. Not necessarily financial, but he will not fail to bless us when we are generous to those who are in need. It is God's will for us that we experience his joy. Look to him, not to this world, to give you joy. Scripture tells us we will all go through trials of many kinds, but in good times and bad, look to the Lord for joy and not to the world. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It grows like earthly fruit. Over time, as we focus on the Lord and spend time in his presence, abide in his word, cultivate thankfulness, pray for joy, serve others, and give to the poor. Give to those who are in need. It will grow. We will grow in this area. It's a fruit. May that be your prayer to cultivate joy in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let's pray. Our Father, fill us with your joy today. Fill us with your joy today. Your joy. May we truly cultivate this in our lives, the things that we have learned today. Help us to rejoice in you, in all you have done for us. May we take time today, Father, to contemplate, to consider how faithful you have been in our lives. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So help us, Father, to keep our focus on you today and every day of our lives. And Lord, for those who do not know what this deep-seated joy is, may they start by opening their hearts to you, by confessing their sins to you, by acknowledging that you are holy God and that we are sinful, that we are sinners. May they repent of your sins, of their sins. May they recognize their need of you to save them from their sinfulness, from their wickedness. That you are our truly hope by faith, Lord, that they will believe by faith May the Holy Spirit be active in their lives even now to truly know joy in the Lord is. And Lord, we do pray for our brothers and our sisters today. They may feel that this joy is fading away because of sins in their lives. Lord, may they consider to confess their sins, and that you are ready to forgive, that you're ready to restore the joy that is missing for the last couple of weeks or months. May you humble them, Lord. May they recognize their pride and humble themselves. May they see you for who you are and what you have done on the cross. So we thank you for this day. We bless you and we thank you. In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.